Welcome. This is Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. You know it is live financial talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you lucky dog, you stumbled on the show that can help you. Call Gregory, 504-260-0995, 504-260-0995, or you can send us a call from the Winning at Life app. It's on the front screen, so you don't have to remember phone numbers anymore. Or you can text us there. We have a programming announcement for our listeners over in the Mississippi Gulf Coast. University of Southern Mississippi football has been canceled / postponed, question mark. We don't quite know for sure, but we know the game is not going to be played on Saturday if it's going to be played at all. They were slated to play Appalachian State, which is in Boone, North Carolina. And so they're going to have some unfortunate weather, and understandably, football is not their top priority, and we get it, but we'll keep you updated. Just keep in mind, though, that if you ever hear football, if you ever hear us preempted, whether it's on a weekday or the weekend, and you're like, oh, man, I wanted to hear Winning at Life, go get the app and listen to us. You can stream us right through. We go around all the barriers there with the app. It's just one of 6,000 reasons why you need to go download it. It's free. Just go get it in your app store there. Something else I want to cover here. Our guest on Saturday's show, Jude Heath. He's a CPA, the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates. A couple things we're talking about, but one of them, because I was asking him, we're kind of chopping up the idea of so many people have called lately that have side businesses making money on the side, like some rental properties or what have you, and they have no business structure whatsoever. And apparently they just don't understand what they're missing out on. So we're going to cover that. But walking down that road, Jefferson Parish is the western suburb over here in New Orleans. And their attempt on tackling the short-term rental issue, you know, Airbnb, and a lot of cities are kind of ticked because, hey, man, we need to get our piece of the pie. You know, they've tried to outlaw it. They can't. They don't really want to outlaw it. They just want to get their money. So Jefferson Parish decided 6 months ago that we're going to start regulating our short-term rentals. They're going to ban the practice in residential zones unless you get a license in the few remaining unincorporated areas where it's allowed. And this is all on the public record here. So it's been 6 months. NOLA.com's pretty clever. They went back and checked. Guess how many people have applied for a short-term rental permit in Jefferson Parish now that it's been banned? It's zero. It is literally zero. Guys, that's not going to work. And something tells me short-term rentals are still happening somewhere in Jefferson Parish. So I don't know what they're going to do. How do they get this under control? You know, all they want is their piece of the pie. But Jude was telling me, look, the issue with that's enforcement. He read up on it too. And, you know, because it's kind of tangentially tax related, but there's no real enforcement. There's no budget for this new law. So they can send, I guess, some code enforcement guys that already exist out there, but they already have jobs and they're already swamped. They're understaffed as it is. This isn't the purview of the cops, and they're not hiring anybody new to come take care of this. So without an effective enforcement mechanism, it's kind of weird that everyone just decided to sit back and say, no, I'm going to keep renting these out. And if they want their money so bad, well, then they're just going to have to come catch me. And that's an assumption. I haven't actually talked to anybody with a short-term rental in Jefferson Parish, but that's what I'm sort of gleaning from the information we have here out of NOLA.com. So not one license has been registered or even applied for by a property owner in Jefferson Parish. Got any ideas on that, Gregory? I mean, is this kind of what we expected? I didn't know it'd be zero, but I figured few people would actually go hand over their money when they don't really have to. What do you think?
You just have me at a loss on it.
Because we don't know what to do next. How are you going to enforce this? What can you do? Can you get on a deal with Airbnb and said, hey, anybody in these zip codes, can you just cut off 10% and ship it to our parish government or something? Would Airbnb be down with that? This is kind of cool because this is one of these things that we've never had this problem before because we never could have this problem before. Like the, it sounds a lot like what they're going through with Uber. They kind of want to outlaw it, but then they really can't. And they really just want to get their piece of the pie. So they're struggling on how to get it. But it's a new problem because Uber cannot exist before the smartphone, before the this little iPhone in my right hand came out. Uber's impossible. You can't do it on a desktop because you're not going to have your desktop out on the street corner waiting for the car to come down the road.
Yeah, it's the reason that the cab industry was left flat-footed, left behind, where they should have been innovating and creating efficiency and be the ones to do that in that industry. But, you know, and you know what? There's probably somebody that wrote software for them to do that, and they're probably like, why? Seems to be working fine. That's okay.
Yeah.
Well, and then Uber and Lyft and such as those. So on the Airbnb stuff, it's similar situation you're talking about. But I would think they would collect that fee and disperse it.
That Airbnb would do that for them?
Yeah.
That, to me, that's the only thing I can think of.
Are you sure they're not already doing it where that's required?
I'm not sure. But if they were, then I would assume that... I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking at the parish council or at city halls around here trying to deal with some of this new stuff. But, you know, part of me doesn't feel too bad for the taxi industry, because part of the reason that you didn't see them innovate more is because they're the ones who put all these regulations in place that flash froze the cab industry in the current model or in the previous model that we used to use. Like when they say the only way you can have a cab in Orleans Parish is you have to have a debit card swipe machine, and it has to be this brand and this model, and just ignore the fact that the company is owned by my brother-in-law, but that's what has to be in all cabs, and if you don't have that in your cab, then you can't drive a cab. Well, guess what? Uber doesn't use those card swipe machines, and if you insist on a card swipe machine, then you can't have a prepaid system like Uber. Like, you can't do, even if you came up with the app, it would still fall short of one big rung of convenience that you have with Uber. So we're just watching the growing pains here of the gig economy here. And it's fun watching the slow behemoth, you know, it's like a sloth watching government try and keep up with the private sector. You know, it's, I don't want to say it's like the tortoise and the hare, because the tortoise ends up winning, but it's funny. And that was a shocking statistic. That's something that's coming up more on Saturday's show. And I just can't stress this enough. If you have some side business or some side income coming from somewhere, get a business, get an LLC, get some structure. I mean, there's 10 different reasons why you would benefit from it. I mean, the biggest two are, number one, it could be very advantageous and efficient when you're doing your taxes, get you a bunch of money back. And the second biggest one, heck, it might be the first, is you need a legal wall of separation between your private life and your business life. You don't need someone to get hurt while you're on your job, and they can sue and they can take your kid's house. So that's something that Jude's going to be spearheading on Saturday's show in the 11 o'clock hour. If you miss it, the podcast will be up on the Winning It Life app. A lot of fun stuff here. Hey, Gregory, did you see the new Apple announcement from yesterday? They've got three new phones, but they all seem to be variations on the X. And I think I'm actually more interested in the watch, the Series 4 smartwatch. It can perform an electrocardiogram and alert medical professionals of an emergency.
There's going to be people that need to wear that watch. And I would think more technology like that comes down the road as they figure out how to shrink it and get it to do that.
They have these little injection machines. They can implant it. And there's going to be a point here to where it's monitoring your heart, and it can actually tell the other machine to administer medicine. We don't have it out yet, but people are already sort of envisioning where this is going to go. And now we're on to something. I wasn't too big on the smartwatch when it came out. What was that, 2 years ago? Yeah, big deal. It's an iPhone with a screen that's even harder to read. I mean, for me,
I can't read the one I have that is the plus size.
Yeah, same here. deteriorating with age is pretty painful. So the watch, I was like, who cares about this? What's this going to do that the phone can't? Well, now it's doing something that the phone can't. It also has the accelerometer in it, which lets it know if you fall down. And if you fall down and you don't get back up, it will call 911 for you. If it's monitoring your heartbeat and you flatline or you have an irregular heartbeat, if it knows you have a heart arrhythmia and it's looking for it, it can call 911 for you. This is like the medical alert, help, I've fallen in and I can't get up. Just roll that into what this is doing. So now we're talking about some really cool stuff here. I mean, think of everything that's already in your phone. The phone calls is one of the last things it does. It's a little mini computer. It's a camera, and all these other functions it has, where it can tell you where to go and the navigation. They're starting to add that with the watch and stuff. It's going to be a beautiful world. But just like we're seeing the cab industry and the short-term rental industry, the hotel industry being upended by some of this new technology that couldn't have been a problem just 10 years ago, I think we're going to see some big, wide changes in the medical industry. And this is just part of it. I mean, that's where so much of robotics is going these days. And look, if you want to take the negative part of it, there's going to have to be some lawsuits. Someone's going to have a heart attack and the watch didn't catch it. And so they're going to sue and say, if the last update didn't have a bug in it, then my dad would still be alive or something like that. And it's not all going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly. There's going to be disruptions. There's going to be lawsuits. There's going to be some screw ups there. And trial and error is always going to look like that. But make no mistake about it. Progress isn't right around the corner. We just turned the corner and we're getting our first look at it. And I think it's pretty cool what Apple just unveiled this week.
I don't know about that liability so much just because they add something on.
Yeah, I agree. But the suit's
not there to track the heart attack.
I'm with you on that one. All right, financial situations, not quite sure what to do? Call Gregory, Hall of Fame financial advisor across the table here. We'd love to take a crack at your situation. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
This is Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. We're here every evening at 7. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk about your money. I want to hear your story. Maybe we want to help you improve your story. You know, when we talk about retirement, hey, by the way, I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Phone number is 504-260-0995. James Parker's here as well. So we're going to be here with you till 8 o'clock. So you can download the Winning at Life app, text, email, call the show from the app. A lot of resources there. Go ahead, download it. You're going to need it. Your wallet will be happy. Once again, Winning at Life. Email. Want an email? Comments, thoughts, reach out for help. info@gregoryricks.com. You get that through the app as well. So, you know, talking about your story, what is your story going to be? You know, a lot of times I think people, you know, you always hear, you know, conversation about retirement. You're planning for retirement. Gosh, retirement's so far away. Oh, retirement's upon me already. But, you know, I am thinking more and more about this, that you're thinking about retirement the wrong way. It's not just a word. It's so much more. It's not that, yeah, I'm quitting my job, going to do nothing for the next 20 years, 30 years. I don't know how long you have. Long time. And is there retirement without income? There isn't. I'll tell you that. We know that. So then what is retirement? What is your vision of it? What do you visualize? So one of the things you should think about that. What is it you're wanting it to be? If you had to tell a story about your retirement, how would you like that to go? Or think about it this way, your grandkids, if they were to tell about your life the next 20 years, 30 years, how would you like them to tell it? What would their experience be? What would be their vision of that story? See, I see retirement as something different. I see it as about income. I see it as about choices. I see it as not having to depend on earned income, but multiple streams of income. And that you probably should have more tax efficiency than you have. You need tax diversity. I'd made a list last night before I spoke at the Wine, Wisdom, and Food event. Let me grab a paper here. Kind of thinking about all the different sources of income when we're talking about income. So first off, pension for the 23% that still has that option. That can be a source of income. Sometimes, and look, everything's decisions. No matter what I mention on the source of income, it still comes with decisions. This isn't simple. It doesn't get easy. And probably when you start thinking about it as sources of incomes, you're probably saying, Gregory, you're like complicating it. No, I'm getting you to see what it is so that it can be so much more is what it can be. Okay. Oh, Social Security would be the next on the list. Social Security. How about your 401k? That could be your 457, your 403b. And why would retirement that be an income source? Well, maybe you're not 59 and a half yet, and you're having to utilize the age 55 exception and take income because you were over 55, but not 59 and a half. And you wanted some other options. It's also called retirement. Now, that could also become your IRA because that could be, those accounts could be rolled over to your IRA. Let's see. So next, help me out, Jane.
Max funding, the 7702.
Yeah, I'll drop that down a little bit further. Max funding for income.
Where would you put Roth on that list?
Roth would be next.
Okay.
On that list. Yeah. Tax-free, building for tax-free income. Reverse mortgage would be one of the sources.
Nice.
You know, I know some people swerved on the road just now. One guy, I saw him, he fell out his chair. Hey, by the way, we're on Facebook live streaming as well as Periscope. Friend us on Facebook. The show Winning It Live, Gregory Ricks, Gregory Ricks and Associates. So we're at reverse mortgage as a source of income. And people, oh, it's a bad thing. No, it's making use of that equity in your home. Put it to work. You spent your life working on it to get it there. Why not put it to work for you?
Well, anecdotally speaking, most of the reverse mortgage stories we saw where they said it went wrong, they did something wrong. They used it wrong. They didn't wait until late enough, or they didn't get their spouse on the title. Or
I think there's really two purposes that I see used most and most beneficial on a reverse mortgage is a reverse purchase or reverse to make your mortgage go away. The other, because that frees up income. If your mortgage $1,000 a month and you can make it go away, you just pocketed an extra $1,000 a month that you're keeping for it to go somewhere else. Or the reverse is for monthly income over the balance of your life. That's what I see a reverse mortgage.
So is the next one going to be annuities or just fixed annuities?
Well, we're going to talk about your equities, depending. And a lot of these things can be invested in equities, but it would be, say, your non-qualified account. Because your IRA could be in equities, your Roth could be in equities, so I don't want to pinpoint that, but that's depending on how it's managed. But you could have, from an annuity standpoint, you could have pension-like annuities. And that's where you're using that strategy to build lifetime distributions that have spousal continuation as well. Now, you could also kind of fall in there to, well, what about bond-like annuities? Well, once again, that's another way to invest your money. Doesn't necessarily mean a separate stream of income, but if you want, you could go in there. Well, I'm taking income from dividend stocks, so we'll call that a stream of income, which means we would call the bond-like money as a stream of income. So far I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 sources of income there. Could be the interest on your CDs. Another sort. I sat down with a client the other day, 1.5 million in CDs and receiving those dividends every year. And we shifted and increased some rates from 1.5% to 4% on 5-year CD annuities. And you know what that is? That's boosting income when we shifted a couple hundred thousand that way of that money. And that's what they've cycled. We've been working with them a few years on that improvement. Very, very conservative there. A few index in there, but we're talking about money that they don't want to put at risk. So right there, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 sources of income. And I've probably missed one of my staples there, but we did talk about max funding income. And that's another strategy where you can put money away and having it come out tax-free. So when you're thinking about these sources of income, you're also thinking about how you're building this, accumulating it, and how is it going to be taxed on distribution? And I'm going to list other. So now we're at 12. Other. What is other? Another source of income you have. Maybe you have some mineral rights. Maybe you have some rental houses. See, this stuff that's off my grid, but you have other income. And I'm not going to try to list those others, but others go outside of what we help people work on and change the thinking. And this isn't necessarily about turning everything on at once, but it also could be laddering income at certain points. This is to be turned on, like a reverse mortgage for income would be later down the road. Social Security, you might retire at 62, but you might not turn your Social Security on until 67 or 70. Or you might not take income from your IRA because you have a pension, you have Social Security, and you have max funding that's creating tax-free income. And it's 6 more years till you're 70 and a half, which forces income to come out of the IRAs, which we have listed. But why is it coming up? Required minimum distributions. And then you might be turning on the Roth a little bit later. Why? Because it doesn't go in your 1040, but inflation's hit. That Big Mac is now $6.50. And that carton of eggs is $2.99 now. So you're needing to make some adjustments because things cost much. You did have some technology advance because you don't have to have cable on your TV anymore, because now you just plug something in the side of the screen and it costs you about a quarter of what cables. I'm just going in the future because the computer cost you 30 years ago, like $3,000. You can get it for $400 and it does so much more. So when we come back, we'll continue with this conversation.
All right, more on streams of income. If you have any questions, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
All right, this is it. Winning at Life. You know what? We're positive thinkers here. We're positive movers. We're inspiration. And yes, this is all about your money and what's going on in the world to affect it. And there's so many things we can't control, but we can control what we have and what we do. If you'd like to join the conversation, 504-260-0995. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. So think about it. Where do you live? I know where you live. You live in the United States of America. That's where you live. And I've traveled some. I've not been to 140 countries. Remember those painting thieves
that took that 140 countries? Very impressive.
That was pretty impressive for two teachers in a small town, but they did have that $100 million painting in their bedroom.
I've only been to four countries.
You know,
I can count it on one
hand. And I've not counted, but I've been to more than four, but I've traveled some, and what I've seen, and I've read a lot. So that stands for something. Well read. Where else do you have the opportunity that we have in this country to participate in retirement plans, to put money, to make money, to make more money by choice, to go into business by choice? Yeah, you're risking, but gosh, the rewards can be so great. And over time, you don't have to put a lot of weight in. I think we're going to talk about that Saturday morning. You know, start thinking about what do you need to achieve goals monetarily. So that'll be one of the topics we'll start out with Saturday morning on the show. And we do that from 10 to 1 on Saturdays. But where else do you get that opportunity to do that? And besides, maybe you haven't done enough. Where else can you live on this planet to all of a sudden start tweaking it and make a difference? What about, and having the ability to generate tax-free income? You know, this doesn't, I didn't start saving when I was 18. I didn't start saving when I was 25. I'm 50 and I hadn't started. Well, then it's time. And you know what? 10 years can make a giant difference in the rest of your life. Well, maybe you're not retiring at 60. You're going to retire at 66. Well, if you're 50, that's 16 years. And you know what? There are changes you can make. There's, you know, when we're talking about these multiple streams of income, I think I got to what, 11 there? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Now, some of that, if that's just one person, can create that. But if you're married, your spouse is going to be able to draw Social Security. Your spouse may have a 401k. Your spouse may have a pension. So if I add that in, what was that? 12 on the main list?
Yeah.
12, 6, 7. And now I'm at 19 sources of income. You need to start sitting down and looking at how many ways do we have to generate income. It's not one pile of money, and you're not turning it all on at once. Then you don't understand. Because when we go through it, the GPS, we're looking at all the different sources. So, you know, so I've found 19, so it probably means there's 20. But look at it this way. You should have four if you're a household.
That's bare
husband
minimum.
Husband and wife. Four. You each are going to draw on Social Security. It's a given. With the except, okay, I work for the state. I'm not going to get Social. Well, you're getting a pension there. So that's a wash. So you're both getting some type of income, even if you're a government employee for the state and they didn't withhold Social Security. So you're both receiving Social Security income, and then you both should have something saved outside of that. Maybe it's that 401k, or you just saved up money. You should have that, or you should see that you do. If you have a home, is it going to be paid for in retirement? Most people have that mindset. Well, that means you have a reverse mortgage option. So there you have five sources of income. So what else can you do to build additional sources of income? And retirement is about options. Retirement doesn't mean to stop and just live on passive income. A lot of people retire or end that job to go do something else that they're happier with. Maybe it's a few days a week, a few hours a day. and they're getting some income, something to do with their life that now they can do because they don't have to make the money there. Why? They have other sources of income, creating passive income to where they can do something they want to do instead of what they have to do. So start thinking about your story. And where a couple came in this afternoon, and this is every day now. Somebody's go, yeah, we're retiring. And this was, you know, Bill's retiring next year in June. And his wife, Beth, says, you know, I was thinking about working a little longer, but he's retiring June. I'm retiring too.
That's kind of cute
out there. And so we were talking about his company plan, how it's coming out. And yeah, he has Social Security benefits. So he right there has three sources of income that we were talking about. And then we kind of shifted to her. And then we talked about RMDs, and we start laid out the income plan of what they're making this year and what's going to be turning on next year to create that income. So his Social Security just was turned on in preparation for that. His income from his retirement plan is being split into two parts, and he's receiving an income payout over 10 years for that. And the other money's just going to continue to defer and grow. I think between his Social Security and that income, he's at like 58,000 right there. And then her Social Security is not going to get turned on for like 4 or 5 more years, but she's going to start taking some income from assets. There's a pension into the mix. And then you're seeing her Social Security turn on and some other sources there. And that's what the discussion is about. Then you can kind of see, well, what's my monthly income going to be, or annual and monthly as all this is taking shape. And what they saw over the next 10 years is they have an increasing income in retirement. And then you get a little further, there's the RMDs, and then all of a sudden it really starts jumping up there. And so I said, instead of that, maybe we shift a little more to the front end and make that a little more comfortable, maybe a little bit more travel. So that's what we're looking for, is the sources of income, and then the income from the assets, which can be a lot of these items here for both of them that we, and what they were gathering is confidence that, and a surety that this is going to go well. And they're looking at what, and then when you think about drawing passive income, how long are you going to do this? How long are you going to stream from multiple sources? It could be 20 years, 25, 30 years. Where else on this planet do you have this opportunity? And you don't have to put it all at risk. You can like be really conservative. This couple's very conservative. Another couple that the husband just went into retirement. The wife had retired a few years ago. And we kind of updated their, and once again, they're very conservative. They're like, we're here. We don't need things to change. We just need this income to stream from it. Where else do you get these options there? And if you're unsure, you're having doubt, having questions, you know, we need to have a conversation. And this is something to start, change your thinking. What do you want it to be? How are we going to craft that story? How are we going to make it happen? As we can finished up that last meeting with a couple today about that, is we're getting back together in a few weeks, and we did their risk number. We looked at some of their sources and gave them, you know, with the RMDs, and said, how is it looking? And then we're going to show them how we're going to build that out to make that happen with conservative income options. Oh, we talked about NUA as well. They, you know, is there an opportunity to buy that stock out of your company plan at low tax costs? That could possibly become another income stream for them as well. See, I get excited talking about this and the options that you can create and lead a special life post earned income.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Welcome to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. One of our calls of the week from the Saturday Spectacular. We do 3 hours on Saturday as well. Be sure to check it out. If you can't listen live, listen on the Winning It Life app. We got the podcast up there. This is a weird one. What happens if you have after-tax money in your 401k? Let's see how Gregory helped John from Picayune on Saturday's show. John and Picayune, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks, talking to James, Gregory, and Wes Blanchard. What can we do for you, John?
Okay. My question is, I have two 401ks from two different companies, and one I have for years always put the money in after tax. And then the second company that I work for, I have the money in there, it's, you know, before tax. At income tax time, how can I ensure that one is handled differently? My understanding is that I shouldn't be taxed on the one where the first one, if you see what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, so you're not working for that company either at this time?
Correct. And I'm 70, you know, over 70 and a half. And so I'm having to take those RMDs, I guess we call it. Yeah, and so that's what I was just wondering. They took, on both of them, they took some money out, which, you know, it's fine. But at income tax time, I want to make sure I get the proper credit.
Yes, there's an IRS form your tax person's going to have to complete, and you need to make them aware that there's a cost basis in that 401k. So basically, you're taking money out of both the after-tax portion that's in there on the RMD and the untaxed money that's in that account as well. Now, I can give you a tip here how to completely separate that if you would like, John.
To separate
that tax money from the untaxed money that's in that account. Because in a 401k, you could have everything put in after tax, but it's still growing tax deferred. And this will reduce your RMD. Would you like that tip?
Well, certainly.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give it to you when we come back from the break. You mind holding with us?
Okay,
because it's going to take more than a minute, and I have like 10 seconds.
All right, John and Picayune continues. If you have a question, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We got Wes Blanchard in here with us as well. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, live financial talk radio. We're here for you. 504-260-0995. You can text and email us through the Winning at Life app as well. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. Hi. And we have Wes Blanchard. We're talking most all things estate planning, but we have John on the Winning at Life hotline here, and he has two 401ks that he had through working through previous employers. He's over 70 and a half, and he has RMDs. And he has one of those 401ks that's chock full of after-tax contributions in there. Now, and I held John over the break because I wanted to talk about this. Now, John, you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for holding. Now, you know, you do have the ability to roll over a 401k when you leave an employer, right?
And I did, yes.
Okay. Well, you said it was still in your 401k, both of those.
They're two separate. I rolled it over to, one is to Vanguard, and I got another one to the Charles Schwab type accounts, but they were rollovers.
Okay. Well, going back to what I understood you say to begin with, then we're going to question what happened. But going back to if that money was still in a 401k and you had after-tax money in it, when you could roll over that money to an IRA, in the process of doing that, you separate the after-tax money that's in the account. They would issue you a separate check for the after-tax money that you could take personally to you, or you could roll that over to a Roth, the after-tax contributions. The money that's pre-tax or untaxed in that account would go over to the IRA, and this is a non-taxable event in distributing that way. So in this case, if you have after-tax money in that IRA, you have a cost basis built up. How come that money was not separated out? Did they not tell you about that?
Right. I didn't know anything about that. Right.
Yeah. See, that's one reason you got to use somebody that really understand how this works and use an IRA expert. And, and that's why I have the affiliation with the EdSlot Elite, Master Elite Advisory Group. We do a lot of training on an ongoing basis for this. But that's one of the key questions when we're helping somebody with a rollover, and my team does this, but they know that every time we do a rollover, we ask the question. First, we want to look at their documents to see if it's there. But when we're doing it with the firm, the question we ask is there any after-tax dollars in the account? That is a huge question, because once you've rolled it to an IRA and didn't separate it, I always give the example, it's like pouring cream into your coffee, and then you say, oh, I like my coffee black. Well, we can't undo that. You're going to have to drink it as it is. You've already got the cream. Okay. You can't separate that cream. So the IRS is not going to just let you peel out that money in your circumstance. Now, for somebody that's happened to, they could then move that money to the next 401k. And then when they leave that firm, they could then unwind that money and separate it when they leave that 401k in the future. So going back to your question, John, and I appreciate you holding on so we could educate the listeners on this, but that tax form that you're going to need to show your cost basis so you don't get double taxed on that money is form 5329 that needs to be filed with that.
I'm sorry, the transmission's not too well right now. You may have to repeat that again.
Okay, it's form 5329 that you need to file with your tax return that keeps up and tracks that cost basis so you don't get double taxed. Hopefully that helps, John.
I'm sure you have. You've educated me and probably many, many other people. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Great call, John. Yeah. All right, we're back live now. And, I was saying to Gregory over here on the break, it's like, yeah, this doesn't happen very much. But I was mistaken. We don't get a lot of calls on after-tax money being in your 401k. But this is not unusual to you in the least, huh, Gregory?
No, a lot of times we are seeing some amount of money being after-tax that are in accounts, especially if they've stayed with the same employer a long time. Newer 401ks that haven't been around long, but when somebody comes in and they've worked, I worked for that company for 30 years. I worked there for 25 years. There's going to be after-tax money in that 401k. But what we do as a rule is we address it 100% of the time. On the other end of the call, they said, nope, there's no after-tax dollars here. Are you sure? Yep, absolutely sure. We're good. It's just, we don't want to miss if there is after-tax dollars. We want that separated out of that. So you can do one of two things. You can have them send the check to you, or we could go ahead and send it to the brokerage and go into an unqualified account. One other, it can go into a Roth account.
Without paying taxes? Because I guess taxes are already covered, huh?
It's after-tax money. So nice. Tax already been paid. It could go into a Roth account. But you need to have that discussion or know that the fiduciary you should be working with understands this and will look out for you on that. The other question we always address prior to a call is net unrealized appreciation. Did you buy this stock you're holding on to in the portfolio that you've accumulated over the years? Back in the day, how much did you pay for it? Did you get it like at $5 a share, $2 or $3 a share, opposed to it being at 76? Now, what we're looking for, did you buy it cheap enough that it's worth enough now? An example of, you've got $100,000 worth of stock that you paid the low prices on, meaning, that $100,000 worth of stock, I only paid $20,000 for it. Well, we could go in there, pay the taxes on that $20,000, and that $100,000 comes out of the IRA when we transfer the assets, roll the assets over to an IRA, that becomes non-qualified money. So you're paying taxes on the $20,000 of acquisition cost. That money is now outside of your IRA. No RMDs. It could become your block of emergency money. So many things. And you don't have to sell the stock. Well, what's my advantage? You're paying capital gain tax instead of ordinary income. That's a difference. That's why we address that as well. Well, looks like time is up. If you would want a deeper conversation about your story, tax advantages, how to create tax-free income, multiple streams of income, tax diversity, I have a number for you. 504-832-9200. GregoryRicks.com.
Your home away from the show, winningitlife.com and the Winning It Life app. Go there, check out our podcast. You can listen live, get in touch with our YouTube channel, get in touch with the Total Wealth Authority, and come back and play with us again tomorrow. Thanks for hanging out. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks is for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Strategies for the private use of our audience. Find podcasts and contact info in the Winning It Life app and winningitlife.com. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.